Well, got some good news to share with you. Those of you that are new today, we have been spending the whole week in prayer. Very beloved brother called Bruce Mers, who has been suffering in the hospital, and our congregation have risen to the challenge and believed that he was worth contending for. I'm sure everybody has different things they're anticipating. For me, all through this week of prayer, I was waiting the first moment he'd open his eyes. Laura and I just came from the hospital, and we had some good time alone with him, and we said, "Bruce, it's Easter Sunday, it's time to wake up." And he opened his eyes for us this morning. See him, he was really working at it, wasn't he, Laura? His whole face was trying to open those eyes up, and because he's heavily sedated, he's fighting against it. That was a gift. It's last week in the liturgical year. It's called Passion Week. This will be a Passion Week we will never forget as a church. I said, "Bruce, you got to wake up. Your destiny's upon you. You're a worker of miracles, and one called to minister in resurrection power. So it seems like a good day to start." I even offered. I said, "If you come, you can preach. You can preach all month." I'm sure that was tempting. Yeah. Hallelujah. As we sat in his room this morning, couldn't help but seeing the parallels between his state and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, when he hung upon the cross, he said, "Father, into your hand I commend my spirit." And he entrusted himself entirely to his Father. It was the ultimate act of trust, reliance, and abandonment. Because Jesus had the power to raise the dead unless he died. He did not have the power to raise himself. He could raise Lazarus. He could raise children from the dead unless he died. So it's the ultimate act of powerlessness. But he trusted his Father. He trusted his Father. "Father, into your hand I commend my spirit." I can trust everything I have into your hand. Because he knew his Father would not abandon him to the grave. And he knew his Father wouldn't leave unfinished promises over him. That his destiny wasn't finished. And his Father would not allow that to go on incomplete. And so he gave himself over to death. And then followed a long Friday night and a long Saturday. Because we know those periods in our own life where we say, Father, into your hand I commend my spirit, and we trust him with everything we have, and we hope that our resurrection will be instantaneous, and it's not always. Sometimes there's a long Friday night. Sometimes there's an awful long Saturday. But Jesus laid in the grave in a posture of rest. Because he knew his Father would not leave him. There was more for him than that. And while he lay in the grave, all of course his closest followers felt like, what was this all about? We had hoped for so much. The disciples on the Emmaus road said, we had hoped he was the one. The one to deliver Israel, the ones to set things straight. We had hope. They lost their hope. It's a long Friday night. Between a crucifixion and a resurrection, it's a long Saturday. And so you've all got your long Saturdays, because we've all died our deaths and we've all prayed our prayers. So Jesus isn't just working something of his resurrection power in Bruce. As we've prayed for him, there's parts of us coming alive, isn't there? There's a resurrection process. At one of the toughest hours on Friday, Laura said there was probably 100 people from our church in the hospital there. The hospital said they'd never seen such support for an individual. And they told us repeatedly, never seen such love in a community. One of the nurses is coming to Christ over it. Because she said she'd never seen such love. She said, I used to be a skeptic. I used to only believe in medicine. But what I have watched in these coming days has changed my mind. She said, I saw miracles in this room. She said, I told everybody on the ICU, don't tell those people to stop praying, because when they're praying, something's happening. Didn't even believe in God only 4 days ago. She said, when they're praying, he's getting better. So don't stop him praying. He needs them. Wonderful to watch the way she has built relationships with people. And she's just remarking about our community. And I talked to her about Jesus, and she said, that's what I've seen. That's what I've seen this week. And I told her, I said, well, good, because you're now part of our community. And she cried. I said, we're not a closed circle. We're a growing circle. We're an inclusive circle. So you're now part of us. Because people used to feel that you had to believe before you could belong. Now we see evangelism happen when we make people feel like they belong even before they believe. And so we showed her a sense of community and her a sense of love. And in 3 days, sometimes that's all it takes. In 3 days, she went going from death to life, from unbelief to faith. And so the same thing is happening in all of us. When we first started praying, it was hard. Because we want to pray, we want to believe, but it's hard to get out of your mind the last time you believed. And it didn't work out the way you'd wanted. So here Jesus flushed those things, even those pains, to the surface. Because his cup of healing is big enough for all. Heal Bruce. He can heal nurses. He can even heal all the prayers. And he still never runs out of healing. So for some of you, it's been a long Saturday. Something died years ago. Some part of your faith died. Some part of your hope died. Some promise you were holding on to, it died. It's been a long Friday night and a long Saturday for you. Bruce, it's time to wake up. It's time for a lot of us to wake up. So the beautiful thing about the resurrection is he didn't have to raise himself because he had a father who would raise him. Some of you know my story. I got taken through a 12-year dark night of the soul where God took any sense of his felt presence from me, and it was a time of identification with the cross, a time of drinking of a cup of sorrows. I felt an internal agony for 12 years. The hardest thing is I couldn't raise myself. I tried everything for the first years. I tried to pray myself out of that. I tried to fast myself out of that. For 1 year, I fasted every second week for a year. And all I did was get skinny. I could use a bit of that now. But I realized, looking back, I was trying to pray myself out of it. I was trying to fast myself out of it. I just thought if I just did enough, I could get out of this death. I could get myself out of this grave. The harder I tried, the deeper I fell. So the wisdom of God was to say, Todd, you can't raise yourself. But you got a father who's able to. And so there's something glorious about coming to the end of yourself. Where you can't raise yourself. Before I went into that 12-year period, I was just an embodiment of passion for Jesus. He took any sense of that away from me. And so year after year, I went pursuing it, seeking it. Where's my passion? Where'd my passion go? It died. Every day I'd walk for hours and pray for hours. Where'd my passion go? And in time, I began to realize he wanted my passion to hit for him to die so that it could give way to something greater. That I could realize his passion for me. So always thought about my passion for him, but it wasn't until I felt passionless and felt his passion for me. Sometimes there has to be a death for something before there's a resurrection of something. And I came out of that period saying, whatever passion I may or may not feel for him, I have tapped into, I have found something greater. A Lord who's passionate for me. And once I realized that, he gave me my passion back. Literally, he resurrected it. He did something I couldn't do myself. Jesus, as he laid in the grave, could not raise himself. That's the beauty of it. A complete trust in the Father. The Father is true to his promises. And he's good to his sons and daughters. This morning we have a baptism. It's one of the most exciting times in our church. Baptism, where people have come to realize the significance of Jesus' death and the significance of his resurrection. They've come to believe in his death and believe in his resurrection. And even beyond that, they've come to say, I'll share in your death and I'll share in your resurrection. And so there is a time to die. You promised at baptism. Maybe Jesus asked you to die to something for a while. It's okay. You promised at baptism you'd share in his death. Took me years to realize, what's this death stuff? Why do I feel so dead? Why is you always want to kill something in me? I had to go back over my baptismal vows and realize it's entailed in baptism. At baptism, you promise you'll share in his death. So then don't be surprised when something's got to die. But what gave me hope is at baptism, I also promised I'd share in his resurrection. I'd literally share in his resurrection. I wouldn't just believe in his resurrection. I would get to enjoy it myself. I would participate in his resurrection. It would touch me. I So baptism is a very powerful time, not only for the candidates. It's a powerful time for the church to renew your baptismal vows and say, when Jesus asked me to die to something, I promised long ago I'd do that. There's a time and a place for death. But there's a time and a place to come alive again. Maybe there's some coming alive in people that needs to happen today. Some old promise. Faith. Come alive again. Hope, come alive again. And so as we watch the candidates go through the waters of baptism, I want you to think about your own baptism. And say, Jesus, there's been some dying, but it was for you and it's worth it. Just like you thought the Father was worth dying for, I think you're worth dying for. But I also now I stand in the need of some resurrection. I stand in the need of some resurrection. And so for you to enjoy what he has for you this morning, I want to invite Steve and Barbara up, who's been in charge of our catechism, to come and help us just transition into baptisms.
It's a good day for baptisms today, amen. Good. If the candidates can come forward, that'd be great. So we've been studying the fundamentals of our faith for the last 6 weeks with these guys, and just you can come up right up here. We really believe that everyone should know the essentials of our doctrine and know what they're getting into when they're getting baptized and know what they're committing to. And so we take every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 over the last 6 weeks and have different teachers come in and they learn about the gospel and we study through the Apostles' Creed, and it's a really amazing time and it's a lot of fun. And so we have these four people getting baptized today. We have Dean, Jesse, Constantine, and Angela, and it's just been a really great journey. And so all morning I've been meditating on Romans 6:5, where if we share in a death like his, certainly we'll share in a resurrection like his. So today, just knowing that when they come out of the water, they receive all the benefits of the cross and all the benefits of its resurrection. And it's just such a hope-filled day, and it's such a perfect day to get baptized. It's so exciting. I'm so excited for you guys. So if you could put up the baptismal covenant on screen, just if you've been baptized, just think about this and meditate it and renew your vows. And this isn't something just for these guys, but it's something we all partake in every time we see baptisms. We look at our lives and reflect and go, are we living up to the covenant we made with Jesus? Whether we were explained what that covenant was properly or not, we all agreed to something, and it's a perfect time to just renew our vows and meditate on him and what he's done for us and what it means to be a Christian. So do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? Will you devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you love Christ and all that Christ loves, and especially his beloved bride, the church? All right, if we can call Jeff and Lawrence forward, we'll start with the baptisms and the worship team.
So Jesse's going to go first. The rest of you could just have a seat at the front. In a moment, Dave and the team will lead us just as we get some things set up. You've just heard the candidates express their confession in terms of what they believe about God. But we're also going to give them an opportunity to tell us about what's God been doing in their lives. And so they'll confess their faith in their own stories. And so we'll give them a chance to do that one at a time. And then as they come out of the water, you'll have an opportunity to continue in worship. Dave will lead you. And the candidates will come down to the front, and Bishop Todd and others will pray for them. And so if you're part of that, the family that's closest to those people, if you're in their lives, if God gives you a word for them, just feel free to make your way over there and pray. We want to just have that as a time of anointing them and blessing them with the power of the Holy Spirit as they come out of the waters of baptism. And so Jep and Nathan will get in the water, and Dave will lead you.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Amen. Good morning, ROL. It's good to see you again. It's been a while. It's good to be home. And it's a privilege here to be with Jessie today. She took our kids and youth catechism class, was that 2 years ago now? 1 year ago, and she at that time wanted to consider the cost of following Jesus, something he asked us to do, and she took her time to make sure she was ready. And so apparently she's decided she's ready. Is that true? Well, let's find out why.
I was born into a Christian home, and I've been going to church my entire life. And I've been wanting to get baptized for a while. I put it off at first because I was shy and afraid, and I had to take time to consider it. But then later on, I put it off because I didn't feel like I was good enough. I felt like at that stage in my walk with Christ, I wasn't a good enough Christian. I thought baptism was only for Christians who were ready to take it up a level. Then one day, the story of Martha and Mary came to me. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made while Mary was at Jesus' feet listening to what he had to say. I've been a bit like Martha, not wanting to go to Jesus until everything was ready, doing unnecessary work while leaving out the only necessary thing to do was to go to Jesus. For it is not by works but by faith that we enter the kingdom of God. Baptism isn't what you do when you're ready to move forward. It is the action that readies you for what is coming next. So, as unready as I am, I'm ready to be baptized because Jesus wants me to, and I want to follow Jesus.
Well, Jesse, it's a privilege and an honor to baptize you today, having seen you grow up from a little girl into a beautiful young lady that loves the Lord. We just stand with you today, knowing that you will please the Lord and bring glory to him with your life, and already have. So, Jesse, upon confession of your faith today, I baptize you into Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
So, Angela, we're looking forward to hearing a bit about your story.
My testimony obviously begins almost 31 years ago, but I'm going to start in September of last year. I am a homeschooling mama. I believe it is knit into the fibers of who I am. But in September, I was met with the hardest decision I'd made in a long time. I put my kids in school. I felt ill-equipped, and I wanted to allow the Lord the place and time to do a healing work in me to prepare and equip me. For a year prior, I had been going to Bible studies, and I have had a hunger to know God more deeply. I wrestled with wanting so much to do Corpus Christi between finances and feeling that I needed to be home with my 5 children. I chose not to do it, but I prayed with much desire that God would not leave me behind in what he was doing in CC, and he is not. There hasn't been many times in my life where fear didn't grip me relentlessly. In November, those fears started to plague me. I felt like I was in a vortex of fear. God gave me a dream about being pregnant and having a very rapid birth. I felt immediately that this journey was going to be quick. I had 2 incredible women pray with me, and I believe the spirit of depression was broken off of my life. It had held me literally captive over the time of my birthday and Christmas since I was a child. I never felt valued, important, or loved. I thought that was the end of it. But I continued to be attacked with thoughts in my mind about fears I had had all growing up. 3 weeks before my birthday, I received a prophetic word from a dear person to me that the Lord had a gift for me for my birthday. On my birthday, I again began to feel attacked heavily with fear. And by New Year's, I felt paralyzed by it. God had given me another dream, and I felt this journey would be longer. On that first Sunday after this started, Pastor Todd was speaking about going through hard times, and the Lord was going for the core issues. I knew it was for me, and that one of the core things for me was fear. It had held me captive all my life, and Jesus wanted it. I was birthed in fear. My dad was physically abusive to my mom, and my mom would hide in closets in fear. Even in the womb, I knew fear. The Lord said to me, I'm redeeming your birth. I had received a prophetic word from one of our pastors. As I was waiting in line for prayer, I silently was asking the Lord for his joy. The first words that came from the pastor's mouth was, God is giving you a restoration of joy. He also said that God is not going to leave one pain untouched, and that I am my Heavenly Father's daughter. I honestly didn't believe I had many pains. Boy, was I wrong. It's amazing the things that can get hidden under years of baggage. It started with fear. For a month, I felt like I lived through every fear I had in my 30 years. But God was so faithful. Every time a fear was there, he would bring clearly to mind where it came from and how it got there. And he has been faithful to do that even up to last night when praying with my sister. There were so many times during my journey that I would ask him something. Sometimes within an hour, he was giving an answer. When I was at my weakest, he had become my strength. God was so intentional in bringing things to the surface. And it was painful, but in order for him to extract those wounds that were grafted into who I was, it caused pain in order to let them go and make a pathway for who he has called me to be in him, to have my identity in him. Through this journey, the Lord has made my husband stronger, and I have seen the Lord begin to impact his life in new ways. I've seen my children begin to respond to the things of the Lord. I've always felt that God had been so intentional with me through my life, even in the midst of not making great decisions. He continued to hold me and carry me. When I was a child and my parents didn't watch us, he was there protecting us. When my parents divorced, and boy, it was hard, but he gave me strength and a passion for being at church. When my mom left us kids, God had provided a home for me with my sister where he could continue to protect me and draw me deeper with him. When I met my husband, he was faithful to tell me that it was him. But I had to wait for his time. God knew that I needed to be told because there have been times when all I had to hold on to was that word. There was a time when I questioned whether I heard the Lord, and he used a person to prophetically sing over me, and he sang my heart back to me, confirming his word. Nobody knew the questions in my heart except the Lord. He is a God who sings over his children. When I was introduced to pornography as a young girl, he was there every time Satan tried to pull me in. At 14, I would read romance novels, and I sat down the one night, and I just wanted to please the Lord. I ripped up that novel, and I recommitted my life to the Lord, and he has been setting me free from things ever since. Now he wants the core issues, and I just want him to have all of me. Whenever we ask the Lord of things, he doesn't always answer them right away, but be sure he hears our prayers. I have sought him for healing, for deliverance, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, for freedom, to know his heart. He's been faithful to always be working into my life, but he's been extremely intentional this past few months. There were times when all of me was falling apart, and I was wondering why. He answered clearly, "I want you to know who you are." He's been wanting me to find my identity in him because that's when we are most free to be who he called us to be. I'm not quite there yet, but he will get me there. The battle has raged. Satan has not wanted to let go, but this battle is the Lord's, and he will let go in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus was shed to wash us white as snow. It was by water and blood that we were birthed by woman into a natural life of sin. But God redeemed that by sending Jesus to give us birth into our spiritual walk with him through his blood and water. I intend on leaving everything in that water. Nothing is coming out with me. Jesus has made me a new creation, and I'm going to walk it out with him. I live in him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. His blood speaks a greater word. It is because of him. He wants us to know who we are in him. He wants us to walk in him in all the ways he called us to. The gift that God gave and continues to work in me is who I am in him. There have been many gifts over the past months, and clarity will come. In order for us to walk in what he calls us to do, we have to know who we are in him. Healing is a beautiful thing, but when it starts to hurt, we often give up or slack off. I want to keep going and giving him all of me. He is faithful to his word. Jeremiah 29:11 was something he has spoken every time I've got a prophetic word. It was like that was the verse, every time for the last 12 years. So for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come to and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This past Friday, I was given a prophetic word, or a week ago Friday, from my sister. And the next night, my friend started reading me another prophetic word, and I said, that's exactly my prophetic word. So I asked one of the pastors this morning if I could read it, because I really believe it's not mine. It's ours. It's ours. So this is the prophetic word. God is breaking off your wilderness mentalities. For a while you wandered in the desert. God served you manna. But now you are about to enter the promised land. This season has been a season of consecration. God had Israel circumcise themselves before taking Jericho. You have been circumcising your heart. The Lord says that he is preparing you and releasing you into your destiny. You are about to enter into the Caleb and Joshua spirit. You will see that you are well able to take the land. Others around you will see them themselves as grasshoppers in the eyes of the Lord, but you will take the hills and the high places. You are being released to be a warrior, so wilderness mentalities are being broken off of you right now. As each attack happens or different thoughts come up, ask me for their name. I will tell you the wilderness mentality I'm breaking off of you. Read again the start of Joshua. I will give you insight into this current battle. You are contending for rest right now. And while it seems opposite to say I am fighting for rest, realize that rest is a place in my realm. It is the place where you are done trying to work your way to me, but rather a place where you rest in me. The hill is yours to take, sons and daughters. Each step up this hill will break old ways of thinking off of your life. To enter the promised land, you need to see and think differently. That is what this time is about, consecrating yourself to me. There will be a break. It is called rest.
So, Angela, upon the confession of your faith, we now baptize you into Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Took on flesh, light of the world and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
It's my privilege to introduce to you Dean Koopmans. He's relatively new to River of Life, and we're so excited to be with him here in baptism and also to hear a bit of his story.
Thank you. I basically came to Jesus Christ, the Lord, at the lowest point in my life. I felt very alone. My wife and son had left and had no friends. I pushed everyone away from me. I mistrusted everyone and was hateful towards them, even strangers and family. I had extreme depression, mood swings. Nothing in my life made me happy. Life seemed hopeless, pretty much worthless. The pain of all this became unbearable for me. It was crushing me like a great weight. My life was not worth living anymore. My pain had to stop, or I did. I went on my knees and I started to pray to Jesus, the Lord. I asked Jesus to please forgive my sins, and that I loved him. And I told him that he could have me, all of me, every part of me, that he could have my pain. And before I could rise up off my knees, the Lord, my merciful Lord, he took all I offered him and filled my heart with love, joy, and hope. And then I stood up. I was shaking and crying. And I know now that the Lord loves me, and I love him with all my heart. Thank you.
So, Dean, on the confession of your faith, we now baptize you into Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in the precious blood of Christ.
Constantine, why don't you tell us a bit about your journey?
My journey as a Christian is starting my family. I've been raised in a Christian Catholic family. And as I was growing up, there were kind of feeling a need to learn more about Jesus. And once, after I get married, we joined a group that called Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship International, where we meet with people from different congregations, and we share the Bible, the Word of God. And there were another group where the one we joined, it was kind of called the Family for Christ, and that's where gain more experience, more teaching. We follow some discipleship classes, and again, we meet with a Christian couple. We share the Bible, and we encourage each other. And things change when it was time for me to move to Canada. I left my family in 2001 for 3 years. So I had to start a new life here and work hard. At the same time, I feel like I didn't have enough time for God, for His Word. As I was working almost every day, days and night, so I was kind of missing some good things and all the benefits. So there's been up and down in my life, and God heard our prayer. My family joined me in 2004, and we kind of reunited again, and I had to free myself some time so that I can be available for God. We start going to a church in Edmonton, and I was surprised one day the pastor called me. They asked me to be in charge of administration of the church. I said, well, I don't think I'm ready because quite new in this church, just about a year, and there's some other people here. I think they'll fit better than me, so I don't think I will do that. But he insisted, and at the same time, I said to myself, I don't have to say no to God, to work for God. So then I accepted, start working and organizing the church as a new church until we move here to Lethbridge in 2009. We came to the River of Life. And, I was questioning myself if I still need to get baptized as I received baptism as I was young, as I was a kid. So this is something that's been I've been struggling with. And later, when I went for my surgery, I was at the end of January. As I was recovering, I started thinking, and I said to myself, yes, I feel like there's a piece of puzzle that's missing in my life. I think this is a good time for me to to complete what has to be done. So I talked to Pastor Lawrence. He said, yeah, there's a class starting soon. If you want, you can join. And I took the class. And today I am here to lay my life down for Christ, to share his death, and receive all the benefit of powerful resurrection and start a new life.
So, Constantine, upon the confession of your faith, we now baptize you into Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home.
Why don't you stand with us to worship our King?
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and tries to hide, it trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And oh, we'll see how great.
And time is in.